church, I preached a few weeks ago on the topic of maturing. Do you remember that? And how, as believers, we are called to mature in our journey with Christ, right? We don't just stay babies and children, but we grow up in Christ. And my message was called Aging and Engaging. Okay, so the one thing is, are you just getting old in the church and filling a seat, or are you getting old and still engaging in what God is doing in the life of the church? Okay, the danger is that you can just go, well, I'm older now, I've done my thing, I'm going to retire. That's not what we do in the kingdom of God. And so I want to continue that theme and talk a little bit about a topic that I don't think is addressed often in the church, and actually I think in a lot of ways is quite misunderstood. And I want to talk about discernment. Because often someone will say, well, what is your spiritual gift? And someone will say, discernment. And they go, okay, what does that mean? What is the gift of discernment? What are you discerning? And so I actually want to dig into it a little bit. And I want to go through 3 points. One of them is a little bit controversial, so hang in there. The first point is discernment in the general sense. What is discernment biblically? What does the Bible say about it? The second point is the gift of discernment. So there's a spiritual gift, which is the gift of, it's actually discerning spirits. Okay, the gift of discernment of spirits, which is a gift that the Holy Spirit has given to the church. We need to know what that is and how it operates in the life of the church. And it's an important gift. And then the last one is about something called watchman on the wall. And I think when you hear the term discernment, often those two kind of tie together. And it's an Old Testament concept that is sometimes imported into the New Testament. And I think I want to preach into that, because I think there is sometimes a misunderstanding and it's misapplied. Okay, so I want to teach into that, because I think it's important that we understand how these gifts work in the church, because we're all growing. We're all maturing, and we want everyone to be maturing in their gift. Okay, is that good? So, very generally, who can tell me what discernment means? It's a tricky one, eh? Come on, Craig. Well, in a general sense, in like the English word discernment. Anyone got any ideas? Yes, yes. So very, very simply, it's the ability to judge well. The ability to judge well. And we could also say to make sound judgments, to see the truth of situations. It involves understanding, insight, and the ability to distinguish between what's true and false, right and wrong, helpful and harmful. Okay, that's a longer description of what general discernment is. And I suppose for all of us, we need to have some kind of discernment in everyday life. If you're going to decide to walk along Muizenberg Beach Road at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would question your discernment. I'd be like, I don't know if it's a good idea. Like, Muizenberg's great, but at 4 in the morning, I don't know. And if you say you're very discerning, I might say, well, I don't know. Okay. But as much as people generally are called to discern stuff in everyday life, as believers especially, we are called to discern in matters of faith. Okay, we are called to discern in matters of faith and things that apply to our faith. And so Philippians 1, 9-11 says this, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to test and prove what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Or think of Hebrews 5, 13-14. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Okay. Discerning, this power of discernment. So we're talking about, what does that look like? How do we train our powers of discernment when it regards our faith? Well, that's a very good question, Dylan. Thanks for asking it. Excellent. How do we do this? Well, very simply, I would say as believers, primarily we train our discernment by spending time in the Word of God, by testing everything against the Word of God. Okay, that's very important. Our minds and our hearts need to be shaped by Scripture. And so I think the primary way that we train our discernment, knowing what is right and wrong in a spiritual sense, is by spending time in the Word, by digging into the Word, by going, what does Scripture say about this? How do I understand this? And the minute you hear something that's a little bit off, you go, but that's not lining up with what I've read. Something's wrong here. And so you're training yourself. And it's like getting fit. It's like the more you read the Bible, the stronger you get. The stronger you get in your faith. You're learning more all the time. We're not called to be children. We need to grow up and to be adults. And part of that growing up is maturing and training ourselves in the gifts of in discernment. Okay, so we said that the Word is important. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we need to be training ourselves all the time. Along with that, I'd say being in community, prayer, and also importantly, listening to the Holy Spirit. Relying on the Holy Spirit at all time when it comes to this thing of discerning what is right and what is wrong, what is from God and what isn't. Okay, Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word. And so, church, a basic encouragement is to spend more time in the Word. Spend more time training yourself to know what the Word of God says. Amen. Study the Word, and you will grow in discernment, in this biblical discernment. Now, this could look different for everyone, but I was thinking of my own journey. When you first get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, and so you kind of have a general sense of, you know, when you're not saved, it's like all religions are the same. You got your God, hey, that's cool. You've got your God, okay, that's cool. The minute you get saved, you go, oh, wait, there's one God. Ooh, God is good. Devil, now he's not good. Okay, that's like an immature kind of, okay, Holy Spirit's telling you, he's speaking to you, you're discerning between right and wrong. Which is good, but as you grow up, I think you can't just stay in that space. We need to start recognizing things as we grow up and learn to spot things that aren't good, teachings that don't align with Scripture. Now, why do I say that? Because often as a younger Christian, if someone quotes the Bible, they're like, he's a Christian. He must be a Christian. He quoted the Bible. Second Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 says this, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. We know that scripture. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. What? It is not surprising that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. So we need to be able to discern. Is this of God or isn't it? Charles Spurgeon has this quote. Thanks, Wayne Turner, for this. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. That's a lot trickier, eh? I mean, black and white, eh, I get it. This shade of gray and this shade of gray, I don't know. Like, it does get a bit tricky. And so we need to be on guard, and we need to be aware of what's happening in the world and the doctrines that are out there. We need to be able to discern between what is good and what is not. I'm a fan of YouTube, and recently I've discovered that there's documentaries on a place called the Diamond District. Who's heard of that? In New York City. Okay. 47th Street, and I know a lot about the diamond industry for some reason now all of a sudden. But what happens is that they buy and sell watches, like Rolexes. And you can pay up to 170,000 rand for a watch, dollars for a watch. I mean, these things are crazy high end. And these guys know these watches backwards. It's just like, it's this whole other world you've never heard of. And they're just, anyway, they're making lots of money. But, I send Kim Nick. But the point of that is that guys will walk down the street with a Rolex. And the guy who's trained in his craft in watches will look at that watch and go, it's a fake. In a few seconds, he's called it. He's like, it's a fake. And I go, how do you know that? He's just, I just know. I just know. It's what I do. It's my craft. Okay. We need to be able to see the real from the unreal. And so let me try a quick exercise with you. I thought this was quite fun. Genesis 1:17. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. But what if I came to you and said this? Since God is the creator, and we are made in his image, we too have creative powers, as in we can speak things into existence. If God is God, and I'm created in his image, then I'm a little God. Your powers of discernment are good because it's false doctrine. But it's doctrine that is believed by millions of people. Christians. Yeah, crazy. It's called the little God's theology. It's not good doctrine. It's bad doctrine. It's a fake Rolex. And so until we've trained ourselves in the Word, until we've trained our discerning ability, we might not even spot that. And so people fall into this thing of going, well, that must be what it is, because that guy said it on stage. And so I'm a little God, and I can create that stuff with the power of my mouth. No, you cannot. Believers are children of God. This is good theology, adopted by God. We are not gods by nature. We are redeemed. We are not divine. And while we are made in God's image, we remain finite created beings, i.e. not little gods. Does that make more sense to you? In summary, spend time in the Word to identify the fake Rolexes. The mark of maturity is the ability to discern moral and spiritual truths. Okay, so I think all believers should have that, do have that, and should be growing in that. Is that good? All right. Now, the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment of spirits. Who's heard of that? Okay, so as a believer, if you've been born again, you realize that we don't live only in the material world, as in the natural world. There's a spiritual world that applies to us, and that we are in a war, we are engaged in a spiritual conflict. And it says that in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We all know that. If you didn't, now you do. And so being that we are spiritual, in a spiritual battle, that we've been born again, that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Lord has given gifts to the body in order for us to actually win. Well, the battle's already been won. Christ has won. But we strive. We fight against the enemy. And one of the gifts he has given us is the discernment of spirits. Now, where do you get this from, Dylan? Well, I get it from 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read it quickly, a very quick summary of it. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so the Holy Spirit apportions gifts to all of us in the body of Christ. And I think I've asked before if we all know what our spiritual gifts are. I hope you do. If you don't, I said speak to your comm leader. Find out what it is, because we need your gift in the life of the church. There's no point going through your whole Christian walk going, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Well, let's find out. Let's get you activated. Let's get you working and operating in that gift which the Holy Spirit has already given to you. And so this gift is a gift that is given to the body. And we see this gift listed alongside things like prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so it's given by the Holy Spirit. And Derek Prince says this. This is about the discernment of spirits. This is not general discernment, but the ability to recognize, identify, and distinguish between various kinds of spirits that confront us. So not only do we just live in a world where there are spiritual beings that are at war with us, but they confront us. What does this look like in the church? What does the gift look like? And I want to say this. We need to always remember that the gifts are given for the building up of the church. For the building up of the church, not for the building up of the person. Okay, that's important. Those gifts must operate, my strong conviction is those gifts must operate within the life of the church. And I'll talk a little bit about that just now. Romans 12, 4-6 says, "For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." Okay. And so I want to talk about the characteristics of this discernment of spirits. Okay. So, 3 points on what this gift is, the discernment of spirits. First point, recognizing different spirits. What do I mean by that? And often when you say discernment of spirits, you immediately think, well, it must just be evil spirits. I'm just here to ghostbust I'm just a ghostbuster. Every evil spirit, I just see it. But I think sometimes this gift can lean, sometimes it leans way too much. You go on YouTube and it's all about the hectic. Actually, it's discernment of spirits, which means whether it is from the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, or a demonic spirit. There's 3 different ways. You get way too stuck in the demonic sometimes. Is this the Holy Spirit manifesting in this place right now? Good question. And so we need to be, so this gift will distinguish between spirits. And sometimes these are easy to see. Sometimes things like greed or ego or false teaching. But sometimes they can be very hard to discern. This is, for me, this is quite hard. When to discern whether someone is sharing in the flesh or in the spirit. That's very tricky. Because you want to believe the best, but sometimes you're just like, I don't know, man. I don't know what you're, I think maybe that's just you. I think maybe you're just sharing some stuff. Good on you. Like, great, but I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. Like, you know, is that fair? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, thanks, Jules. Okay, so recognizing different spirits. And I don't want to teach you this because maybe you're going like, I feel like I've got this gift, but I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know how to use it. How do I use this discernment of spirits? Okay. Helping others, this is important for me. Discernment of spirits helps identify the real cause of a person's problem, spiritual, emotional, or physical, so believers can pray more effectively for healing and freedom. There's no point going, Heike's got this spirit. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. So you've diagnosed the problem. What now? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to help this person? I think of Paul in Acts. How can he pray right now? Thank you, Jesus. But Paul in Acts 16 does this, and I love the story. One day as they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl with a spirit of divination who earned a large income for her masters by fortune telling. Okay, guys, fortune telling is bad. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued this for many days. It must get tiring. Eventually, Paul grew so aggravated that he turned and said to the spirit, not the girl, the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And the spirit left her in that very moment. Paul didn't just go, "I discern you have a spirit of divination." He didn't do that. He's like, "There's a spirit of, come out. Be free." He discerned it and he found freedom. Beautiful. We need to diagnose. No, okay, yeah, we'll get to that. I think people often they discern a problem and think their work is done. If that Corinthians talks about if you speak in the tongues of angels but have not love, you are a clanging cymbal. I think the same applies. If you have the gift of discernment and you don't do it out of love, I think you are just a clanging cymbal. Well done, you can discern spirits. Cool. What are you going to do about it? Do you love the person enough to lead them through it? Okay. All right. And I say this example in Acts because often it is people that we see that we need to discern spirits inside of people. Is it the Holy Spirit working? Is it flesh or is it demonic spirit? And how do we see that and how do we help people through it? How do we discern that? And I would say this. For some people, they don't know. But some people do know. And so if someone is operating in a spirit and they are unrepentant or a false teacher, well, we're not going to say, well, we're just going to pray for you until you see the error of your ways. No, we will say, you are wrong in your teaching. You need to repent. Okay, does that make sense as well? All right. I know this is quite a heavy topic, but we need to, we're maturing, right? We're maturing in our faith. We need to wrestle with these things. Okay, the last point of that I want to talk about with the discernment of spirits is this. Protection from deception. Discernment helps believers recognize where a spiritual influence comes from, whether it is from God or not, and this protects them from deception, false teaching, and spiritual danger. Okay. Which is good. The body needs that. Okay, and my third point is this. Who watches the watchman? You'll understand why I say that. And so I want to spend a little bit more time on this because I think it's relevant to the church in 2025. Let me say this. The discernment of spirits is a gift to the body and is an important gift. It really is. It's an important gift, just as all the other gifts are as well. And often those who can discern things happening in a church or coming against the church carry a heavy burden, and I do want to honor that. I really do. I'm not just saying, but there is some caution here. Okay, so in the Old Testament, we see the concept of watchman on the wall. Who's heard of that before? Watchman on the wall, okay. These were individuals assigned to guard cities, territories, or specific locations, primarily to warn of approaching dangers like enemies and approaching disaster. So you can see the similarities, right? You can see that there's this person who's standing on a physical wall in the Old Testament, maybe in Jerusalem, and he's in Israel, and he's watching over, going, I see something coming, and it's not good. I need to warn the rest of Israel. And we see this, for example, with Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:7 says this, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. So Ezekiel is appointed by God. He's a prophet, obviously, but he's appointed by God to be a watchman over Israel. Okay, so there is a similarity. Now, the question I want to ask is, do we see this role of watchman in the New Testament? Because I want to make this is my contention. I believe that Scripture teaches that the role of spiritual watchman continues in the New Testament in the form of church leaders. The Hebrews 13:17 says this, Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Okay. So I think there's still a role, but that role has been assumed by the leaders in the church who are called to watch over the sheep. That is my job. That is my responsibility, is to watch over the sheep. And so what about those who have the gift of discernment? You go, well, I've got this gift. What do I do with it? And I would say those with a gift of discerning of spirits are to come alongside the elders and share what they feel the Spirit of God is revealing and what they see coming in the distance and to warn. There still is a role in the church. Qualify that now. I want to say this as well. 1 Corinthians 13:9. I think with all the gifts, we need to be humble. It says this, For we know in part and we prophesy in part. No one sees perfectly. I think, personally, I get very scared when someone says, I see perfectly all the time. I'm like, sure, okay. I don't. And so we need to approach those things with humility and go, hey, I feel like there's something happening here. And what I said is I have great respect for all the gifts, but if someone feels this, go, hey, I feel this coming towards you. What do you think? I feel I just need to present it to you. Like, what are your thoughts on that? And I think that the elder's responsibility then is to discern what is shared and to warn the flock. To warn the flock. We need to be warning the flock of what's going on. As well as an elder, watching out for deception, false teachers, and all other spiritual dangers. Okay. And again, because it's one body and many members. So I want to just touch on a point quickly that I think is important, because I said it's relevant for us as a church in 2025, and actually for all churches. My concern is this. I'm going to read it. I have a concern that in the global church, we have seen the rise of self-appointed watchmen outside of the church. Now, I've said that it's good to have people inside of the church. They're a gift to the church. We need people who can see things, but there's a lot of people outside of the church who have taken it upon themselves to discern on behalf of the church and then decide on a narrow scope of doctrine that they endorse, that they don't endorse everyone. And if you fall outside of their scope of doctrine, you are immediately called a heretic. Guys, I promise you, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Self-appointed watchmen calling everyone heretics. In fact, they call themselves heretic hunters. I mean, it's a cute name, but I mean, yes, that's, come on, seriously. It's dangerous. And so, online we see the emergence of discernment ministries that label everyone a heretic that falls outside their system, and in the space of a one-hour video, they judge and denounce whole movements. I mean, they are brave. I don't know if I could do that. That is scary stuff, man. And I say the one-hour video because I want to compare it to the old world. In the Catholic Church, the oldest church, the process of calling someone a heretic that you discerned was a heretic was a long process that took years. I'll read it to you. In summary, the process of declaring a heretic is a serious matter within the Catholic Church, involving careful investigation, examination of beliefs, and the determination of whether that individual knowingly and persistently rejects the truth of the faith. Not knowingly and persistently rejects a truth that you think is true. They don't believe in this, or they're a heretic, because I have perfect theology. Why am I telling you this? Because we are a charismatic church. Guess who they're going to come after the most? I promise you guys, the charismatic church. We are not popular. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. That's not popular. I remember a friend of mine saying he was charismatic with a seatbelt. I was like, what is that? I mean, I get the heart. He's actually a really good friend of mine. And I get the heart. I get it. I'm like, okay, let me say this. Now I've dug a hole. I can't get out. Okay. I would say this. I think the charismatic church maybe has not done a good job of policing itself. And so people are cautious to be too charismatic because they're going, we've seen excesses and we're not going to. We believe in the gifts and we want to, but we're a little bit cautious of what happens when things get out of control. And I think that's fair. That is fair. Okay. Is that better? Have I qualified it? Okay. Okay. So I posted this on Facebook recently. Just to summarize what my thoughts are on what's happening in the world. In the past, it would have taken years for the church councils to label anyone a heretic. Apparently, these days, all you need is a camera, a connection, and often, but not always, a church hurt to declare anyone who disagrees with you a heretic. Guys, it's serious, eh? Charismatics, we're in the firing line. Okay, a final thought. There's a difference between discerning and being critical. Okay? Often people will claim that they are discerning, but actually just being critical. So to help us in understanding a definition, it's this. Discernment is the ability to perceive and understand things clearly and objectively, often involving insight and wisdom, while judgment or being critical often involves making decisions based on personal values, biases, and preconceived notions. If you are discerning something in someone based on your own personal values, biases, and preconceived notions, I question whether you are actually discerning anything. I think you're just being critical. Let me end with a personal story, and I do feel very strongly about this. So after we planted this church, I love theology, and so I was reading a lot of theology, and I started getting into Reformed theology, which is great. I have a lot of Calvinist friends. I don't have a problem with it. Do we have any Calvinists here tonight? No. But I was enjoying it. I was reading, and I was like, okay, this is amazing. And I was finding stuff, and but what I found was, I started watching or going to sites which were criticizing other forms of Christianity, and going, well, this is the one stream that is right. And if you're in this lane, you're right. But if you're just a little bit out, you're wrong. And I was like, okay. I started watching the beginning, and then it was interesting. And I was like, okay, I'm learning a little bit here. But towards the end, I started watching it because all they were doing was pointing out the crazy, wacky things charismatics were doing. And it actually became entertainment. And actually, that's wrong. I was watching people criticize brothers and sisters in Christ based on things, not heresy, not crazy. They weren't abusing people. They were just maybe a little bit to the outside of the charismatic movement, okay? Yeah, they were doing supernatural things. Okay, cool. But for some people, there's no supernatural anymore. It's finished. And so I found myself becoming very critical of the charismatic church, which I'm in. I was like, this is insane. Like, what is going on? Someone's prophesying, and I'm like, is this a gift for now? Like, I'm leading, what's going on? I'm just being honest with you. And I actually felt the Holy Spirit very clearly go, stop watching this stuff. Stop watching it. You're not watching it to learn. You're watching because you think it's entertaining and funny and it's damaging your faith. I promise you guys, it damaged my faith. I had to detox from that stuff. Be very careful which online discernment ministries you're watching. In fact, I would say this. Off the top of my head, I can think of one that I've watched that I think is okay. One. And there are hundreds of them. Just be very cautious. I can't tell you not to watch it. That's not my... I was just saying, be very aware of what you watch. You know, we need to be discerning, but not critical. All right. So the question then is, if we're going with discernment ministries, we don't know, how do we avoid being deceived by false teachers? I mean, what do we do then? Like, do we just ignore them? Well, no, I've told you, we study the word and we train ourselves to see what is fake and what is real, to see what is right and what is almost right, to be able to spot the false Rolex in a second. Someone puts their arm up, fake. Not judgmental. Not critical, just I know the word, and that something's not ringing true. Okay, that is the first warning sign. Something is not ringing true. So what do you do then? Come to your elders. Go to your home group leader. Go to a trusted brother or sister. Go, I'm struggling with this. If you're an immature believer, I'm struggling with this. What do you think? I heard this thing. It's not sitting right with me. Like, help me discern this. And then... finally, if you have the gift of discernment of spirits, use it in the local context. Use it in the church. I love hearing from people who go, hey man, I'm feeling this. I feel like this is coming against the church. Wonderful. Thank you. How do we pray about that? How do we come against that? How do we work together in that? Thank you that you've spent time interceding and praying and glory revealed. Thank you. Now let's work together to bring the church through this thing. Okay. All right, so in closing, I thank the Lord for those in the body with the spirit of discernment. They are truly a gift to the church. And I pray for all of us that as we mature, we will grow in our discernment of what is right and what is almost right. Know the difference between the two. And that we have the Holy Spirit, and that we should rely on the Holy Spirit. And we should want to grow in our gifts of discernment and knowing what is right and wrong as we mature in the faith. All right. That is my sermon for this evening. Let me pray.